Yo. Check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays, whatever you're celebrating today. Welcome to a special edition of Anti Media Radio. This is your host, SM Gibson. Unfortunately, I am all by my lonesome tonight in the studio, but the good news is we have our co-host, Dedrick Young, on the ground in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's helping out with the Bitcoin Bowl, and he's going to be telling you all about that. It's going to be, I believe, Central Florida against North Carolina
State. Tennessee State.
And you're down there. It's really a big deal with... This is the first time, you know, something of this magnitude to get publicity for crypto is really out there. So tell us what's going on down there, D.
Yeah, man, it's like the first, like, Bitcoin Bowl, you know, sponsored by BitPay and several other sponsors like TrueCoin. So we got the first Bitcoin Bowl going on. ESPN is going to be all over the, you know, the TVs tomorrow. It's like huge news. This could either go good or bad for us, man, and have some good press and, you know, it's just like extremely like I'm like excited, man. I can't even like speak about it. It's so amazing right now. Like I've never seen anything to this magnitude. So many people like that's involved in this, you know, in this community, you know,
right?
Or this space.
And you know, and I was reading earlier today that you know, at least 51% of Americans have actually, you know, heard of Bitcoin. That doesn't mean, you know, they all know exactly what it is, but I think something like this, you're just going to have, you know, the average sports fan flipping through TV and, you know, they'll just catch whatever game's on. They're like the Bitcoin Bowl, you know. I think it'll go a long ways in raising awareness.
Yes, it will. And also the experience, especially with the people that's attending the bowl game tomorrow, they'll have a chance to also, like, purchase items. You know, buy food, buy drinks. There's several merchants down here accepting Bitcoins. We have 4 ATMs on site where you can come up and pay with your credit card, Visa or MasterCard, and, you know, buy you some Bitcoins to, like, purchase items or any kind of merchandise at the site. Or, at, you know, so it's never happened before, guys. You know, so this is like, you know, it's happening, right?
I think it's absolutely huge. So tell us a little more about, like, what you're doing down there, being on the ground, what you've seen, and exactly what you're doing.
Well, right now, it's like, I guess NC State and Central Florida are having, like, their little celebrations. And we have several people out here, like, in the streets, like, celebrating the the bowl game. And what I'm doing tomorrow, we also going to be like assisting people on their purchases on, like, you know, using the ATMs, because this is going to be so new to so many people. So that's what we down here doing, like really assisting. So helping the process, like, you know, go a little smoothly.
So is it more of just y'all are down there to help educate people and educate the public?
Yes, like on site. You know, there's more people, like my friends from the Bitcoin Center in Denver are down here. You know, guys from TrueCoin, you know, BitPay. It's just the whole space is down here. We all like working together to make this thing work.
Now, here's a question. If the game is on January 1st, correct?
No, it's tomorrow at 8.
Is it tomorrow?
Okay. Night.
Shows what
yeah,
I,
it's tomorrow, the 26th, yes.
That's what I keep up with. So if were people able to buy tickets with Bitcoin?
Yes.
See, that's absolutely huge.
Yes. You can go online and buy tickets.
Now, how many ATMs are y'all going to have set up around the stadium and the area? They're going to be inside the stadium too, I guess? Or
yes, they will. It'll be four on site. And you can also purchase Bitcoins with your credit card.
Now, kind of explain to somebody that's never seen a BTM exactly how it works. Can you just walk up and, you know, take your credit card like a regular ATM and use it? What do they have to do? Jet, you there? Looks like we had some technical difficulties and lost him. We'll try to get him back on the line here in a second. But anyway, so this Christmas holiday, there is, you know, kind of been a slow news day, kind of been a big news day. We've got some situation going on in Missouri once again. In Berkeley, Missouri, which is about 2 miles from where Michael Brown was shot in Ferguson, protests have started again. This time, I'm sure, as you already heard, there was a young 18-year-old man, Antonio Martin, that was shot and killed by a police officer. It's a little bit different situation this time, and there's a lot of gray area as well. You've got 18-year-old kid sitting there, and he's being questioned. Him and a friend of his were being questioned by a robbery that had happened in the area earlier in the night. And you've got a videotape, which the police department are saying that this is clear-cut, definitive evidence that this is, you know, this is exactly what this is. This is complete guilt on his part. You know, we don't have to question this. You know, the mayor, Theodore Hoskins of Berkeley, even came out and said, oh, no, this is not Michael Brown 2.0. This is not Eric Garner. He's on videotape raising a gun. It's clear as day, which, you know, it's kind of interesting to me, too. It's kind of an admission of guilt going back looking at Darren Wilson and Michael Brown, because they're like, oh, no, this is not that situation. This isn't that situation. It's like, well, what was that situation? You just said that there wasn't a situation. And now you're saying, well, maybe there was. But you've got a kid, and he raises his hand on the tape. That you can tell. You can't really see much. It's not very clear. You've got the officer, his body cam was off, his patrol car cam was off. Got a phone call coming in right now. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself? Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well. What would you like to talk about this evening?
Oh, not a whole lot. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to you. My name's Tony Styles from TonyStyles.com, Tony Styles Radio Show.
Fantastic.
I wanted to say that I love your guys' work and keep it up going in 2015.
Thank you so absolutely much.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
That's all I had to say, brother. What's that?
Anything you'd like to elaborate on that we're talking about this evening?
No. No, I just wanted to say hi and wish you the best going into next year. That's all I wanted to say.
Have a great 2015.
You too. Bye.
That was the famous radio host Tony Styles calling in. So that's fantastic and exciting for us here on Anti-Media. But going back to the situation in Berkeley, we have a young 18-year-old kid. It could be exactly what they're saying it is, and then at the same time, it could be, are they trying to suppress evidence? Are they trying to hide something? We've got fuzzy videotape. We don't, really see the situation as clear as they say you can see the situation. They make it out like it's cut and dry, and the kid, he had been suspended from school, which is that somewhere they're going to go with this. And, it's a character assassination. Just because people get suspended from school every day, that doesn't mean that, or expelled from school, forgive me, but that doesn't mean that, they should be shot by a cop. He was there being questioned, and, he raised the gun. There were no shots fired on his part, and by saying he raised the gun, he raised his arm. That's all you can tell from the video. So hopefully there's going to be some more, there's going to be clear footage come out, and we can actually see. Also, a very interesting thing, too, about the video that has been released, and I've watched it every which way you can watch it. I've watched it zoomed in. I've watched both different angles. You see the officer, he takes off running. I don't know what that's about. Was he scared for his life? You see from the other angle, you don't really see, you kind of see more back towards the door of the convenience store. You see people take off running. Looks like we're going to have D back on the line as well. Got our technical difficulties going on.
Yeah, man, I lost my signal here.
You there, Dedrick?
Yeah, I got jammed up. I guess I lost my signal here. So we have devices here. But I think it's going to be an amazing event.
Yeah. We were talking about the situation in Berkeley, but yeah, continue telling us more about the Bitcoin Bowl.
It's happening tomorrow, guys. Everyone should tune in 8 o'clock. It's gonna be great. It's like making history, man. I think it's gonna be great. We need it, And everything's gonna run smoothly. We got 4 ATMs on site. This thing's rolling. People celebrating.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even for people that aren't fans of sports or fans of college football, that if you're a fan of just freedom and getting off the Federal Reserve and getting away from the big banks, and check out the Bitcoin Bowl, support that, make sure they get ratings, because it's really about awareness and it's about financial freedom as well as individual responsibility. And I think crypto, is the wave of the future. Still looks like we're having a few problems with Dedrick, but that's all right. We can we'll get back on the topic here of Berkeley. But also, everybody, please make sure that they try to watch the Bitcoin Bowl tomorrow. Even if football is not your thing, just have it on in the background while you do it. Go about your daily business and help support the crypto community. Now, as far as Berkeley goes, it's just sad. I wish we were at a position where nobody was raising a gun, whether it's a 18-year-old kid, which we still, we're not sure if it's a gun. We know that there's a 2-hour time lapse from at least what we've seen, and the police story could be 100% correct. We don't know. It's not like they haven't been known to lie before, but we know that there's not a gun on the ground in photographs to at least 2 hours after the shooting had occurred. There could be something to come out and clarify that and show that to be the case. I got another phone call coming in. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good. What's up, man? It's Nick.
Doing good, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. Just out here doing the family thing and all that for, you know, Christmas and all.
Cool. Did you have a good Christmas today?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Got to see some family. You know, to me, that's what it's all about, man. Like, I don't really care about the gifting. I honestly don't buy anybody anything because I just don't know what to buy people. I'm not huge on the whole consumer stuff. But the cool thing is that it's, you know, it's a day off from the typical grind where you get to go and see family and, you know, hang out with people that are, you know, genetically related to you or whatever. Yeah. And it's kind of a cool thing, I guess.
Just to, you know, spend the day with people you love and you care about, and you know, hopefully it's a drama free day. You know that, you know how it is getting together with families. That can go either way, but hopefully, you know.
Yeah, you know, everyone says like, oh, well, don't bring up politics or religion. It's like, dude, that's the only thing I'm interested in.
So it's either they talk about politics or the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, pretty much, man. But, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up, as far as American culture and American, the way we are put to work, I just got back from Mexico. I'm sure plenty of the people listening know because I talked about it on the last show. Anyway, a lot of people, man, especially in Europe, man, they get a lot more time off than we do. I mean, we're talking about months, if not a few months out of the year where they get time to just go do vacation, and their workplace usually pays for it. You know what I mean? And as Americans, man, we get a few days. We get Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those are our two big things, and those are our times to go see family and stuff. But I think we really need to make a push to get more free time, man. More time off where we're not having to work. More time to do our own thing. More time to be with family.
Absolutely. At least Americans, get some bank holidays here in America like they get in the UK.
Yeah, man, and Americans, there was a study that I just saw that showed that we're basically, the whole country is more or less, like, clinically depressed. And I think it's because we're overworked, we're underpaid, we don't get enough time with family and friends. You know, we need to really put a more emphasis on our personal lives and taking time to do our own thing and not have to worry about all that stuff, especially for the poor people that are stuck in corporate America that are having to do the 9-to-5 grind every day and get shit on by their boss every day and all that stuff, man. That stuff will drive you crazy, and at the very least it'll demoralize you, and I think that's why a lot of people are kind of apathetic, because their own personal situation is pretty screwed. I think we need to try to figure out a way where people can get more leeway, man. And of course it all goes back to this freedom, having time to be free, having time to do whatever you want, man. That's what the human mind, the human brain is always craving, that stuff, and we just don't get enough of it.
Right. Like, how many documentaries have you seen about poor people in other countries that really have absolutely nothing, but they have their family and they have each other, and for what little they have, they're very happy, and then you have people in this country that have stuff and they're just miserable.
Yeah, exactly. We got all the material stuff. We got nice TVs, we got cool cars, we got, you know, this, that, and the other. We got a bunch of crap laying around everywhere, a bunch of trash.
Plenty of stuff that is
distracting. But we don't have. Yeah, man, it's a distraction, and what we don't have is the peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's like, it seems like the culture here tells you that the next thing you can buy is going to be, you know, that's going to be where your happiness lies. And a lot of that, you know, falls into advertising and really falls back into the education system. Well, if you get this degree, and then you're going to be happy. But then when you get that degree, you're going to get this job, and you're going to be happy. But when you get that job, you're going to be able to buy this car, and that'll make you happy. And it's always chasing this next thing, and that next thing's never going to be something that's going to offer anyone true happiness.
Yeah, man, and it's like, you know, I don't know. A lot of the people I know, man, they go out and buy these $2,000 TVs and stuff like that. It's like, it's good for today, but then tomorrow it's just more stress because, you know, that's more payments you got to make, and, you know, that nice car, it's cool to drive today, but next month when that luster wears off, you know, it's like just another $500 car payment every month and all that stuff, and it really weighs on you knowing that you got all this stuff going on. And then also when you have all these, you know, debts, when you have all these payments that you got to make, well, then guess what? You know that you got to make those, so then you're willing to compromise on your principles because then you don't want to lose your job because you're not going to stand up to your boss and say, oh, hey, that's wrong. Because, you know, if you do that and you get fired, well, then guess what? There goes all your nice stuff, and there goes your nice house, and it's like it's a perpetuating cycle, man, and it really drives us into complacency, I think, here in the U.S. and maybe in other Western countries as well.
Now here's a question: how much of this stuff do you think people, the majority of people, I know, you know, it's different on an individual basis, but do you think the majority of people are going out there and trying to obtain all these things so their lives can be more comfortable, or that's what they believe? Or do you think there's something internal that maybe they don't even realize, and they're just doing it so they can impress their neighbor, or they can impress some girl, or they can impress their family member who they want to show up?
Well, I think it's definitely a little bit of both. I mean, for me, man, you spent some time with me in my place, and I'm not really big on impressing people and stuff, but at the same time, I do have an iPad, you know, and all that stuff, because it makes my life a little bit easier. It makes accessing my work a little bit easier and stuff like that. But I definitely think that there is a huge, huge brainwashing. Like, I'm trying to think of the commercial. I think it's a Cadillac commercial where there's just like this guy walking around, and everywhere he's walking, he thinks people are looking at him, and he's like, oh, hell yeah, man, people are looking at me, you know, I must look good or whatever. But in the commercial, it's actually just the car driving behind him, and people are actually looking at the car.
Yeah.
That Cadillac. So I don't know if you've seen it, but this is the brainwashing that they do, man. It's like, look, you got to buy all this stuff, and even though you're going to be in debt to the banks, you know, people are going to like you for all this stuff that you're buying. But that part of the equation needs to get thrown out, because that part of the equation, first of all, it's very superficial, and I think it's destructive. It gets people living above their means, you know, it gets people that can't really afford this kind of stuff, and they end up buying it, and then they have all these, you know, debts and all these payments. But I think technology is good, definitely, as far as lowering our labor burden and our manual labor, increasing our communication, making it easier to communicate with people all over the world and stuff. But there's a huge, definite huge problem with this marketing, this propaganda, and building
up
the
really
consumerism.
Good at the marketing too. I speaking of Cadillac, like, you know, me personally, I would never drive a Cadillac. I've never wanted to drive a Cadillac, but there was a commercial a few years ago. It was a Cadillac commercial, and Bob Dylan was on it, and I went from just being like, ah, whatever, and just being like, oh, Bob Dylan, oh yeah, that's cool. Who doesn't want a Cadillac now? Bob Dylan's in the commercial. And you know, it's like, you know, that's how smart they are with advertising, is they play to these little internal things inside of you and connect certain emotions or feelings from some complete outside source, and they make you put that and you attribute it to their product.
Definitely, man. They got that one, what was that one lady, the young country singer turned pop singer, drinking the Diet Coke and all that stuff. I can't remember her name.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they got Taylor Swift out there drinking Diet Coke and all this stuff. I mean, total brainwashing, man. Total brainwashing.
Absolutely.
So,
hey, Nick, hold on 1 second. We've got a call coming in right now from area code 314. If you want to hold on the line for a minute, Nick.
Sure.
Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, SM Gibson. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm pretty good. How you doing? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. What do you want to talk about this evening?
I've been a fan of your page for a little while, and finally got the chance to try to call in. Just wanted to thank you guys for putting out some of the posts that you do. It's definitely eye-opening, some of the stuff a lot of people just don't really want to admit. But I guess more specifically, it's just something I wanted to bring up with just recent events and the way everything's being shown and publicized and kind of brought to just one minute little point of view, and everybody kind of tries to guess and wonder what type of agendas are being pushed with all the craziness that's happening and the riots and the police killing so many people and just getting away with it. And
you know,
it's one of those things. I really do appreciate what you guys do. I guess I'm not saying anything specific, but just more to, I guess, just to say thank you. Well, a lot of people do need to know.
Absolutely, man. I really appreciate it. And you know what? You talking to your friends and your family about this stuff, it takes all of us. You know, it's more than just one person making a post on Facebook. It's all this, and it's a community together.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different topics you could possibly just even want to bring up. You guys have anything specific that you're talking about this evening?
Well, right now we're talking about the commercialism and the advertising and the marketing and all that situation and how people kind of buy into all this stuff and feel like they need the next big thing when really, you know, it's more about community and family and friends and loved ones and just kind of getting away from the whole the big machine that's on top of you, making you feel like you need that next car, TV, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's very consumer driven. It's something where we promote. There was a post I shared that you guys put up, but the one about Uncle Sam dressed up in the, it kind of demonizes him, obviously, but the one that's got him dressed up in the Santa suit, and he says, "I want you to spend all of your money on your family to prove how much you love them."
Exactly.
And you really don't need to go out and do all that. It's a nice token. It's a nice tradition to keep up, but you don't have to go all out. And then how much you care about somebody shouldn't be measured by how much you spend on them for Christmas.
And, no, it's a little, not. I mean,
yeah, I mean, especially to me, considering the fact that the majority of the working class, man, we're pretty much broke, dude. So when you're going out and spending a ton of money on people in your family, I mean, and you're going into debt for it, you're kind of sacrificing yourself. And I don't think your family would want you to be sacrificing yourself to give them a little $100 gift or anything like that. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like they're trying to push us in this direction, obviously, that's counterproductive to the regular, you know, the working people in the country. They're pushing us down this path where they're like, okay, well, let's keep these guys in perpetual debt because we've already got them in perpetual propaganda, perpetual distraction, perpetual division. Well, now they want us in perpetual debt, you know, because then they got us even further under their thumb to where, you know, people are even less likely to say, oh, okay, well, maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's something wrong with what's happening and I want to stand up to it. Well, hey, bro, sorry, you got all these debts. You want to stay in your house? Okay, well, then you got to keep working. You want to keep that car? Don't keep that TV? Well, guess what? You got to do this too. You know, and that's the position they're putting us in, man, is they're trying to just get us into this very fragile position. They don't want strong individual Americans that are financially independent, that are food independent, that are energy independent.
But they tell you that's what they want, though. That's the scary part. They tell you that's what they want, but that's not what they really want.
Yeah, and exactly. Ultimately what they really want is somebody that's dependent upon them that feeds into what they want and what they want us to do, and they want to keep us where they're at, where we're at. And there's a lot of it. It's I know a lot of people say, and some people get turned away from it, but we live in a state of economic slavery. We do, and it's perpetuated by many different factors. But ultimately, they drive the costs up of everything. They keep our wages down, and there's not a real easy way to progress your life in the country we live in. And it's all hidden under the guise of we live in the best country in the world, and God bless America. And those are all great notions, but it's taken to the extreme where you can't have a rational conversation with anybody about it before they get defensive and assume that you're insulting or attacking the things they love and cherish.
You know, and that goes back to what we were talking about with the advertising and the propaganda. It's basically what I feel that they've done is they've tied in this notion of patriotism into the same. They've intertwined it with people's religions, and people feel like as soon as you attack a country or you attack something that the government's done, that you're personally attacking their personal religious beliefs or their personal beliefs or whatever it may be. And it's like you're attacking them as a human being if you say the government did this wrong. They're really good at what they do. It's just really evil.
Yeah, it's very, very articulate and versatile means of manipulation. and a lot of people don't see it. And that's why I just wanted to call in and thank you guys. I don't want to hold you up too much longer. The one other thing I did want to make a comment on, though, I really wish whoever's involved with Lizard Squad and bringing down the Sony networks would stop. It's just spamming their networks and keeping people like me, who it's my real only escape to actually enjoy something, because I don't have a lot of money. But ultimately, yeah, like, if they have the capacity and, you know, get organized and actually go after them and get some hidden information and expose more things that might actually make a difference. Don't just take your toys away from the mindless drones.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one story. I don't know if you hit on it yet, SM. But yeah, the Sony network, the where everyone connects online to play PlayStation, and the Microsoft network, both went down today. They both got hacked or DDoS or whatever. So everyone that got their PS4 for Christmas and their Xbox One, they weren't able to connect online because it was getting DDoS by some kind of hacking group or something like that.
Yeah, I heard about that earlier. I hadn't touched on it yet, but I heard that most of the day those systems were down. I hadn't really played video games in years, so I'm kind of out of the loop as to how all that works and all that situation. But
they're spamming the logins to keep people from even accessing the servers, and it's locking them up so nobody can play on them. It's a little ridiculous. I get the point they're trying to make, but I feel like it could be better used in other areas. You know, right. Lock down financial institutions. Like, if you want to spam somebody, spam Wall Street trading.
Yeah, exactly. I saw an article today on, I think it was on Daily Dot. And Daily Dot's pretty good. It's like an internet savvy site. They do post some clickbait and stuff. But they posted an article today, and they're like, well, why, instead of going after, you know, the PlayStation network, why don't they go out and hack Halliburton or something like that? You know what I mean? And it kind of does make a point. But I think a lot of these hackers, I mean, Anonymous, obviously a lot of Anonymous is like, they hack for good. They're hacktivists and stuff like that. But a lot of these hackers are just out for individual gain. They're out for celebrity appeal. They're out for monetary gain. They'll hack your stuff and then hold it hostage and stuff like that. A lot of these hackers aren't like ethical hackers. A lot of Anonymous, I think, they're more on the side of the activists and stuff like that, obviously, and the stuff we've seen them do. But a lot of these hackers, man, they're just malicious. They're just doing it for fun. They're doing it to make money. They're doing it to gain Twitter followers, whatever.
And, you know, I think that's most of the things in the world now. You know, that goes back to shootings in Brooklyn last week. You know, the guy goes and shoots two random cops that didn't, you know, specifically have anything to do with anything that's been going on. They're just two cops sitting there, so it's just like, you know, Sony's a name's attached to something, and, you know, they've been in the news lately, so we're going to go after that. And then the same as the other, you know, well, there's two cops, I'm going to go out there and do something. It's like people aren't putting their efforts in the right places.
Yeah, I mean, if the guy would have plucked off the guy that took out Eric Garner, that would have been a whole other story.
Right, absolutely.
You know, but he targeted two random cops.
Garner, but right.
You know, and we don't know if those two random cops had ever even hurt anybody, you know, so...
Yeah, they could have actually been two of the few good ones. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Right. It's displaced emotion and anger.
Definitely.
I will say this. There's one thing that's really troubled me about the recent events that... I know a lot of people are completely against, like, the police body cams, and I get the pros and cons of the arguments on each side. The one thing that really stands out is nobody talks about why couldn't they use them and regulate them properly. They talk about the evils of it, obviously. They talk about how much it might cost. And the government contract for something like an 8 megapixel or 16 megabyte or megapixel camera really shouldn't cost more than about like $50, maybe. I mean, they could mass produce them cheaply. Like, costs, hearing that is just complete bullshit. They could make them and have it a government contract. They could regulate them properly, you know, make the cops wear them all the time. And if you don't have your camera active when you're on duty, you don't get paid. And if you're ever in a violent altercation with anybody and your camera just happens to be off, then you get suspended, and if it happens again, you get fired. Like, there's very easy ways to deal with some of these things. It's the lack of transparency in all of this, and the multiple times where there has been complete abuse that make people want to doubt. And
absolutely.
Now I live in St. Louis, and I grew up in Hazelwood, which is just outside of Ferguson. Where I live, my post office, where I grew up, my post office box actually was Ferguson. I stayed like 5-10 minutes away from there. I used to live not even a block away from where Mike Brown got shot, over right by the Quick Trip that got burnt down. And for me, in that, in Eric Garner's case and some of these other ones, the thing that just screams ridiculousness, and the guy that just got shot was at a mobile just the other night, was right around the corner from my parents' house. What screams ridiculousness to me is the fact that in the end of this, like, nobody talks about the lack of transparency, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Why wasn't the police officer, the Berkeley cop, why wasn't his camera on?
Right.
Why wasn't his dash camera picking that up?
Right. So,
and why is he not being reprehended for that?
You still live in St. Louis currently?
Yeah, I moved a little bit further out west. I'm just outside of the Inner Belt now, but I was actually just over right by where the protests are happening for the mobile now. My parents stay in that neighborhood, and I went over there for Christmas.
What have you heard on the ground, or more centralized that you're there, as far as what's been going on in Berkeley, and really witness accounts? Have you heard anything that's not really out there yet?
I wish I could say something like that, but no, I don't. I'm just as much in the dark about that particular shooting as anybody else. I mean, you see the video footage, you see him raise his hand up in a weird position, and one thing that does kind of look very incriminating on the kid is the fact that the gun, when it was found, if you notice in the pictures, the safety was on. Now, this may or may not have been tampered with, nobody really know, but the safety was on, and it looked like the kid may have pulled out a gun on the cop, and if he had a safety on, he might have been dumb enough not to take it off and got shot.
Right.
It's what kills me is that there's no rational solutions for a lot of this even being discussed. I wish that in police incidents there would be some federal ground rules set up as far as, like, terms of engagement with everyday citizens. If a lot of these killings could be prevented just by de-escalating them if the cops were trained more properly to do so. The issue with Eric Garner, it was a terrible fucking thing how he got choked to death, and there's a lot of speculation and conspiracy about, you know, New York being after him and him filing suits against the NYPD for stealing money off of him. And ultimately, when it came down to that altercation, if they were going to arrest him, you know, he was selling cigarettes illegally, if they want to arrest him for it, fine. It's kind of fucked up, but sure, leave it at that. If he's resisting arrest, you back up and you give him to the count of three. If it's clear that he's already violated the law and then he's resisting arrest, you give him to the count of three. You give him a warning, you tase his ass, and then you put him in cuffs.
Right.
I don't understand how that was not even an issue. The guy that killed Darren Wilson, the guy that killed Mike Brown, what kills me about that, why it's not even talked about for excessive force, is that, you know, Mike Brown may have deserved to die. He may have started that altercation and brought it on himself. But the fact that he was able to get away from the cop, and the cop chased him, and his body was found 150 feet away from the squad car,
exactly,
means that cop pursued him and still could not fire a disarming shot. You know, a big dude, they always want to talk about how he was nearly 300 pounds in the media, but if he's nearly 300 pounds, for one, he doesn't run very fast, and for two, his thighs are the size of tree trunks. Why couldn't you just shoot him in the leg and then call for backup and you take him to the hospital, he gets cleaned up, and his ass goes to jail, and this isn't national news?
Well, Darren Wilson made it sound like it was Bruce Banner turning into the Incredible Hulk and he was on PCP and he was just firing shots into him and they were just bouncing off and he kept attacking him. I mean, you know, that's part of what makes it so suspicious, too, is that the story is just so... Literally, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just how can you not shoot? If you're a police officer and you're not an excellent marksman, you're not at all, but how are you not trained to at least have a decent shot? I understand he suffered some trauma, but if you chase somebody the length of half a football field to a football field, you would think that in that time you could shoot a disabling shot that would drop him to the ground.
Absolutely. Well, we got another call coming in. Thank you so much for your call.
No problem. Thank you, guys. You have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Pete, you still on the line?
here. It's kind of loud here, man. All right, let's go.
Thank you for calling Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. How are you doing this evening? Area code 916, you there?
Are you still on? Yeah,
I was muted, sorry.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. My first time listening.
What would you like to talk about tonight? What's your name?
I'm not ready to talk, sorry.
Okay. What would you like to talk about tonight?
I'm just going to listen for a little bit longer. I didn't know how the call-in thing worked.
Okay.
Let me get some shit in my head, and I'll call back.
All right. No. Absolutely. All right.
Hey, she got a prayer, you think?
I guess so. But,
yes.
So anyway.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about the thing that happened in Berkeley, man. I've been hearing about it. I haven't been able to, like, catch up on it, really, because we've been trying to get all this stuff situated out here. You know, we've been on the road, like, for 10 hours or so. We made a stop last night in Destin. But I can't. So, once again, this is happening, right?
Yes. It's a little...
I just want to make sure it's
different, but we don't really know yet. They have released video. There's a couple different angles of the video. But you don't really show a whole lot. You do see this kid raise his hand like he is raising a gun, but you still, it's so blurry in a distance, and the actual video that would give you clear, definitive proof of what happened, they say neither one of those cameras were working, the body cam or the dash cam. Those were inconveniently off.
What was the $75 million spent on that?
Say what now?
I thought there were like $75 million spent on these body cameras, right?
Right.
So now it's not functioning well.
The mayor came out and he said that they haven't quite implemented the entire system yet. And so if this was a little bit further down the line, then there would be serious repercussions for, you know, the camera not being on. But for right now, you know, it's okay. Basically, that's what was said. Mm-hmm. And the really scary part about it was how the mayor, Theodore Hoskins is his name, the mayor of Berkeley, Missouri, made a very big point to say, wait, this is not Eric Garner. This is not Michael Brown. And especially the Michael Brown situation, which is scary because he's like, you know, this isn't that situation. This actually warranted what happened.
Yeah.
And so basically he's saying, yeah, we get those cops just killed those other guys and they got away with it, but this isn't that case. This guy actually deserved it. And that's kind of the argument that he was making in a roundabout way.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like so much going on. Like, hey, it's like, when is it going to stop? So I think that, you know, the process that we've been going through on shutting everything down, we may need to, like, up that to, like, daily shutdowns around the nation.
I mean, the protesters have been out in full force in Missouri for the past couple of days in Berkeley. So, you know, are we going there again? I don't know.
Well, it's almost like too much, you know, so we need to change the game plan up. Not, you know, things that we're focusing on or trying to, like, get implemented is not working, or the people that we're talking to are not listening. You know,
think about it too. I think, you know, I think it's a lot of it, it's part of our job to keep the protests and the stuff in the news. You know, it feels like it gets really old and repetitive sometimes, just going, oh, another cop shot somebody, or there's another protest. But I think it's up to us to keep this going, because I think with most people, if it's not, you know, on CNN, then it's not actually happening. And so people can be out there by the thousands screaming their heads off at a gas station in the middle of Missouri, and, you know, nobody's going to care because nobody's seeing it. Nobody's knowing that it's happening. And it's like, it feels like the government, it's like dealing with a crying baby. They're trying to let the people cry themselves to sleep.
Yeah, but like when Nick called in the other day and told us about the things that was going on with the teenage girl that was here in the juvenile, like I hadn't heard anything like that. Have you? That was the first time I ever heard anything.
I had heard a little bit about it, but you know, not enough to speak on the topic intelligently, and you know, that's not good. We got our another caller coming in, calling in. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing better now. I got it.
So, very good. So now you feel comfortable enough to talk on the radio?
What would you like?
Oh, okay. So I got to turn that off, right?
Yeah, turn it down a little. Hey.
What would you like to talk about this evening?
Well, shoot, I just want to get that kind of off because that's really distracting for me. But what I want to talk about actually is using the shutting down traffic. I have concerns about that as a strategy that's really going to help us move forward.
Okay.
So my concern really is that anytime somebody is sitting, anybody who gets trapped as a motorist in those, at the place where the traffic has been shut down, I'm concerned that every time that they get stuck in traffic after that, they're going to be saying, goddamn motorists, goddamn protesters. So I really like the idea of shutting down, areas of commerce, shutting down in buildings and stuff where you're not trapping the motorists. I've been to, a couple of protests here in Sacramento where I'm at, and I've been watching the live stream last night on Berkeley and tonight on Oakland.
I actually think you make a really good point. Is people are going to be transferring that anger onto the protesters, and kind of ignoring the calls and just say, I'm trying to get somewhere in a hurry, blah blah blah. When really they should be focusing their attention on areas that it could affect the outcome of the decision, City Hall, or a public government building, or an area of commerce, banks.
Yeah, I think so. Here in Sacramento, the cops have been helping us shut down roads, and I kind of think that's because they know it's a losing strategy. They know that we're going to lose support by doing this. Even somebody who supports us, who's trying to get to work on time and gets caught in traffic and thinks, oh, better not be the goddamn protesters.
That's really interesting. So y'all actually have police officers in Sacramento that are helping the protesters shut down these roads.
Absolutely, that's what's going on in Sacramento.
Wow, that definitely does say a lot for that strategy and how it could definitely backfire, especially if the people you're protesting against are out there helping you protest. Basically.
Yeah, basically. So what you're saying, we need a new strategy, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you could hear his question, but he was basically saying we need a new strategy in this. So what do you recommend? What have you seen from your experience do you think would be the most effective way to get a large number of people's attention without disrupting enough to just annoy people and they ignore the message?
So I really think, I saw they did in the Walmart where Crawford was shot, John Crawford.
Yes.
They went in there. And so shutting down commerce, I think, is really good, going into the malls and stuff. I don't think people get upset as much as when they're kind of like trapped in their cars. I just think the trapped in the cars thing is not good. I also saw something called a train takeover, where the protesters that they got on the bus and they talked to the people who were trapped on the train, right? And they have their signs and they just talk to them and they just, talk to them about the issue. I think that is golden right there.
Absolutely. That makes so much more sense actually than just shutting down an interstate, because there you can communicate with somebody and express an idea with somebody, as opposed to just having somebody sit there just being like, oh, I'm late for something. I don't care what these people are doing.
Yeah, I agree. And, when you shut down a commerce area, I don't think that people are inconvenienced in the same way as when you shut down traffic. Like, they kind of see it as kind of like a flash mob. It's cool. It's fun. They still have freedom of movement. They don't have that same resentment.
Exactly. And, even if it's something, because there's obviously going to be a percentage of people that just don't care. And at least if it's something in a commercial area, they're still going to pay attention to it, like you said, because it's going to be a happening. It's going to be something different.
Right.
But
I believe the unions call that the cost of missing out. They don't want to miss out, so they pay attention.
Exactly. It's, you know, people feel like they're a part of something, whether they are or not. They just may have been there, you know, picking up some milk or something, and they became a part of something. And even more importantly, I think if you experience something like that, you're going to go home and you're going to tell your family, you're going to tell your friends, like, you'll never believe what I saw today.
Good point.
But thank you so much for your call, and Merry Christmas, and have a good evening.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa to you as well.
Good night.
You too. So, here we are, about 10 minutes left to go in the show. Covered a lot, covered the protest that's going on in Berkeley. Still having a tough time getting my head around that entire situation. I wish that we had come to a point where, you know, the police and the city of Berkeley are telling everyone, just trust us, just trust us, just trust us. Well, you know, the damage has already been done, and we're not at a point yet where the people are going to trust you, even if you are telling the truth. And I think that is something that they need to realize. And that being said, I think that they need to come forward and offer definitive proof of the situation with Antonio Martin, and, you know, show us real clear-cut evidence of the situation, not some, you know, blurry 8mm CCTV camera that's up on the corner of a grocery store gas station. That's not enough. That's not going to do it for people. If they put out the real evidence, I think that anybody with a brain would have a hard time seeing what they say that happened, seeing that and go, okay, well, you know, fair enough, maybe something. But right now, I just personally don't see it. And, you know, if they are telling the truth, I wish they would put that evidence out there. Because right now, it's just another a life loss. And it right before Christmas for his family, it's horrible. You know, whether the kid did or he didn't, it's absolutely horrible for his family. And, you know, if it really did happen, that's something, you know, the cop's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. Really, either way, he's going to have to live with that forever. He took a life, and, you know, he pulled up and was talking to some kids about a robbery that had happened earlier in the evening. You know, I wish, you know, a lot of liberals say, well, you know, the answer is taking away guns, that's outlaw guns. You know, I wish that was the answer, but that's not realistic. That's never going to happen. And if they do it, that's the stupidest thing in the world, because there's still going to be people with guns. There's still, the government's still going to have guns. And I get, you know, okay, the government's got drones, they can do what they want. Ultimately, they can't. If they really got that out of control, there's nothing the people could do. But you can't take away people's forms of defense. I think a lot of it has to go into education. I think people need to be educated on both sides of the coin. Whether it's the kid walking down the street or it's the police officer. And I think as well is when there is something that happens and there is someone that's shot, I think that there should be accountability. And I think that's what so many of these protests have been about. It hasn't necessarily been about the initial response or the initial death, but it has been about the lack of accountability, whereas in Darren Wilson's case, you know, it was never allowed to even go to trial. So the public wasn't allowed to see the real evidence. It was always hearsay. It was always this person said this, this person said this. Nobody really knew and saw for themselves. And in the United States of America, you know, everybody has a right to a fair trial. Well, that being said, you know, when something wrong happens, I think it's fair to try that person. You know, kind of a concept that's in my mind is people need to get over that clothes don't have authority over anything. And that's basically what we're talking about, is a man's in a uniform, well, that gives him the authority of something. When you say, well, he went to you know, a school, police academy, and somebody made him a police officer. Well, you know, I could sit here and tell our listeners right now that you're all police officers. That doesn't make you a police officer, and the reason why is because, you know, well, just some guy said it. But in this case, well, just some guy said, you're a police officer. Well, who told that guy that told him he was a police officer? Just some guy. And you go back and back and back, and it's just people. We're all just people, and all of a sudden this guy has authority as a human being over you because somebody said it, and somebody gives him a certain paycheck, and now he puts on a certain uniform. People have to get over that concept of division and realize that we're all still human beings, and we should all suffer the same fates and accountabilities, because I know that if it was me and Michael Brown out there, and, you know, it could have been verbatim Darren Wilson's story, but if it was me, I would have gone to trial over that. And rightly so, I should have gone to trial over that. You know, and at least put it out in the court of law and have all the evidence presented and all the facts presented. And that's what's really missing in this country, is that there is no accountability for anything, and everything is done in secret. And I think that's really people's outrage here. You're not even going to indict, not even try a guy that's on video camera choking out Eric Garner. I mean, that's absolutely maddening and insane. Like, how dare – I mean, you at that point are saying there are two classes of citizens in this country. There's people with a uniform, and there's everybody else, because we got it on videotape. We got that this man was not resisting arrest. We got this cop was doing something that he was told by his – that he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to use a chokehold. All that aside, doesn't matter. We're not even going to try the guy that kills him. You are spitting not only in the face of Americans, you're spitting in the face of humanity. You're spitting on the Constitution. There's thousands of people rolling over it in the ground over that situation. Hopefully there'll be some justice done, at least trying the cop with Tamir Rice in Cleveland. And I think a lot of people feel like, well, you want justice, or justice was done. What it is nobody's saying justice is, we'll go kill the cop, or the cop should go to jail forever. I think a lot of people are just asking for, why aren't you even trying these people? Like, how dare you not even, like, put any like, there's no transparency whatsoever. It's, you hear some things on TV, and then there's going to be a press come say, yeah, he's not indicted. And then 2 weeks later, like in the Michael Brown situation, well, we had some witnesses that we knew weren't telling the truth on both sides, but we let them talk to the grand jury anyway, just so they could figure it out for themselves. How is that in searching for justice? You knew people were lying, and yet you just let them go ahead and give their stories anyway. Obviously, what they're trying to do is confuse these grand juries, and they don't want people to be indicted. The DAs work with the police officers. You know, if me and a friend of mine, both me and Nick, perhaps, we work together, okay, and then Nick gets in trouble for something, and then I'm put in charge of having to indict him. We work very closely together. We're friends. Do you think I'm going to go try to indict him, or do you think I'm going to be like the people that are, you know, try to get him off? You know, that's human nature. And what's sad is that these people have so low moral standard, is that they're not really concerned about the right and the wrong. They're more concerned about the buddy system and who you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. This is the end of the show. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you so much for all the telephone calls. Thank you, Dedrick. Remember to watch the Bitcoin Bowl. Our own Antimedia Dedrick Jung is down there. Whatever you celebrate, have a wonderful holiday. See you next week.
I'ma let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, 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 stereo.